Making a low-budget indie film is an incredibly daunting task. Making a low-budget indie animated feature film is practically unheard of. But one intrepid El Pasoan is coming down the home stretch of completing his first animated feature and has just launched a Kickstarter campaign to rally the community to help get the film finished. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. For the better part of the last 2 years, El Paso native Zach Passero, along with his wife Hannah, has been spending most days drawing and animating a feature-length film. The film is called The Weird Kids, and I'm happy to have writer, director, animator, editor, many other hats I know. Zach Passero is back in the studio today. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I was thinking it's been a long time since we had you on the show, but you've been busy. I know you've worked on a number of feature-length films over the last few years. Full disclosure, this recent film, The Weird Kids, that you're doing now personally, is animated, and I am a supporter of that, so I'm not a neutral party here. So let's just jump right into it. The Weird Kids, it's a hybrid film. It's got a lot of genre stuff going on. Why don't you try to break it down, if you can, a quick description of what this is.
The Weird Kids, my short sell of it is that it's a big-hearted, coming-of-age, nature versus humans, new wave punk adventure, comedy, creature feature. So it kind of has all of these elements in it, and just kind of this sense of overall sense of fun. And most importantly, is I wanted to make something fun. And
it wasn't ambitious enough to make an animated film. You had to do all of that too.
Yeah, I had to go for it this time.
Yeah, I've seen a rough cut of, I guess you're about 2/3 of the way complete with the film. And it does have a lot of heart. And it is amazing what you and your wife have been able to achieve with a few other hands involved. How long have you been working on this? It's been, what, 2 years?
It's about 2 years that I've been kind of focusing on it. Inception probably started about, 3.5 years ago. But yeah, about 2 years ago, I was finishing up the script and was feeling really good about it, and sat down with writer, director Lucky McKee, and he kind of helped me workshop it and just kind of just make sure it had the flow that I was hoping that it had. And then I went in and through a rewriting process. And then from the finalized script, I was able to start bringing on voice actors. And it just kind of started to seem like things were starting to fall in the line at that point. I was like, oh, okay, people are reacting to this. People are willing to be in this. Mm-hmm. And so slowly but surely, it was just kind of like little moments of encouragement that kind of kept me going, where I don't know that I was expecting the moments of encouragement initially, I guess.
I think sometimes we get into these big projects not knowing what we're getting into, but that's not the case here. You've been working in the film industry and been a professional filmmaker for a number of years. You know exactly what it takes to not only make a live-action film, but particularly an animated film. I mean, were you trepidatious when you went into this? Were you...
Yes and no. I've always had this weird romantic notion of the idea of just focusing on making my own animated feature film, just
the solitary animator.
And it was kind of these stories.
Completely backwards how the industry does it, right?
Yeah, no, totally. And for some reason, that had always just kind of been this romantic notion to me. And it came back around. I was like, I need to do this. This is something I've always wanted to do, and I need to do this. And I found kind of the story and the project that got me excited about doing it.
Fantastic. Well, I think as listeners know, anybody who's been to an animated film in a theater, there's usually 5 minutes of credits with literally 1,000 names attached, usually spread all around the world. And it's great that you're doing this, you and your wife together, and doing it here in El Paso. That's another great part of this story. You mentioned the voice cast, and you have some really prominent people involved with this. Tell us some of the voice actors.
We lucked out and was able to get Eller Coltrane, who's probably best known as the boy in Boyhood, on board to do one of the main characters. And then Angela Bettis, who's an amazing actress. She's in May, the Carrie remake, Girl Interrupted, The Woman. And she came on board. And then Sean Bridgers, who most people will know from Deadwood, but he's also was in Room. He's on the Get Shorty show now and now finishing the Deadwood feature. But they all kind of came on board and have provided kind of life to these characters.
And you mentioned Lucky McKee helping you early on with the draft of the script and giving you feedback. He's also a producer on the film. He's a veteran filmmaker himself,
yes,
writer, director. So you've got a great team around you. The difference, though, lay out for listeners who may not understand the difference between making a live-action film and an animated film. The process is almost backwards in some ways.
No, yeah, it is. There's almost like production and post-production and pre-production all kind of go together at the same time continuously. We've recorded pretty much all the voices. I think there are a few that we'll pick up.
So you have to
again.
Have a final script going in. There's no changing your mind 6 months later or in the middle of a shoot because you have
no.
to record everybody and then animate to them.
What I've found was I've had a little more leeway because it is just me animating.
Uh-huh.
It's like I'll storyboard things out or I'll kind of like, I'm like, okay, we're working on this scene for this week and I'll kind of sit down, meditate or whatever, see kind of what the flow, the visual flow is going to be, thumbboard it out. And then if I get into the animation and I'm realizing that just the action or the sequence isn't flowing the way I want, I can kind of alter it a little bit. I can kind of pre-edit. And since I work as an editor so much on feature films, my brain kind of always goes there like, okay, is this, am I animating something that I'm about to, you know, edit out of the film at some point? And do we need to do this or do we need to go down this road or this road? And so there's kind of like an editing process that's constantly going on and it's, keeps things exciting, a little improvisation, but also a lot of stuff that is set in stone already.
Yeah, I imagine. I've watched you edit feature films before, and you know, you might have tens of hours of footage to cram into an 80-minute, 90-minute feature to choose from and shape. You can't animate hours and hours of footage and then get rid of stuff. You'd be doing this forever. So there's that difference, too, is that you have to be very purposeful, I guess, about
making sure whatever you're animating is... economy of time that is very important.
That's amazing. You're at a point now. You're roughly two-thirds of the way through this animation project.
And we're starting to get some score work done and some sound design done. And so this thing's moving along. There's like a clear finish in sight. And
you're thinking early next year?
By late spring, probably early summer at the latest. If we can stay this course, we'll have this thing wrapped up.
On a typical day, how many hours are you actually drawing? And
Let's see. Usually at least 6, if not 10 to 12.
Yeah.
So I usually do a couple shifts. Yeah, I'll get up in the morning and I'll animate until the brain needs a break. And then I'm very fond of working at night. So I'll stay up late at night and kind of start another shift that'll either go 4 to 6 hours.
And your wife is doing all the backgrounds?
Yeah. And that's one of the best things is just getting to work with my wife. We already have an unsaid kind of creative understanding. And so like she read the script and got really excited about it. And when she was excited about it, I was like, okay, we can do this together. I know that we've got this. And so I'll work on doing the character animation, and then she'll work on designing the backgrounds and kind of the background animation elements and prop elements. We just have this understanding, this visual flow that comes together, and it doesn't need much explanation. And I love her work when it comes down to it, and that helps a lot, too.
Doubly impressive is that you're both raising two young boys, so you have a young family, and somehow you're getting all this done. It's amazing that you can cram into a day. So you've hit a big milestone this week. A few days ago, you launched a Kickstarter campaign. Tell us about the Kickstarter campaign.
Yes. So, we were fortunate enough to this summer to kind of help keep things moving. We were awarded a few grants, the Rio Bravo Film Fund grant and then also an MCAD local filmmakers grant. And it allowed us to just really focus and make some good headway in the film. And like I said, get a sound designer, Andrew Smedic, starting his work, our composer, Sean Splane, starting his work. And
also veteran filmmakers.
Yes. No, we're so lucky.
It's an amazing team.
So many good people kind of coming on board to this small project. Those grants allowed us so much space to make good headway. And now that we're two-thirds of the way done, and can really see the end in sight, we want it to keep going and finish it and not let this thing drag out over another 2 years or whatever. It's just like, let's finish this and let's finish it right and let's finish it strongly and just do it justice because I believe in it and the people working on it believe in it. And the more that we share it, the more that we show it, people get excited about it and encouraging. And kind of like you've been an essential encouragement to this project and lucky. And the grants, like just all the encouragement that has come has just kind of let us know that our heart's in the right place and we're working on the right project and we're going to get there.
And the goal is less than $50 million.
And yes, exactly. No, we are pulling this off for such a modest budget. It's kind of insane.
It looks like $35,000 is your first goal on the Kickstarter campaign over the next 45 days.
Yes.
And that will get you done.
And that'll get us done. Yeah. And really all we're looking for is there's so much work that goes involved to every step of this, especially the people that are not Hannah and myself. I want to make sure that we take care of them because their work is essential, but their work is also very detailed and very time consuming. Well, and it's worth something.
It seemed like a tiny amount of money in the bigger scheme of filmmaking. So it's just extraordinary what you've been able to do on such a low budget and how far you've taken this project. People can see clips from the film at the Kickstarter campaign page.
Yeah, there's a little in the launch video, there's some tastes of animation from the film. We didn't want to give away too much because, you know, just I want it to be fun for people when they actually do get to see it. And then there's kind of another set of clips that shows a scene from the film with sound design and without sound design.
Right.
Because part of what we're...
You get a sense of your aesthetic and rhythm.
Yes, absolutely.
I wanted to ask you before we were gone that, you know, watching indie film evolve over the last 15, 20 years and the amazing strides in equipment and the cost coming down for so many of the production tools, but we often forget this side of it, the financing side, that there's been amazing strides made through these crowdfunding sources like Kickstarter, Indiegogo, and others. I guess that's really where the backbone of indie filmmaking is right now.
Right. No, it's exciting that that exists because I think making a film, and amazingly enough, an animated film, it's accessible to everybody on some level. And that the next kind of hurdle is the funding.
Right.
And here's this platform where you can find that encouragement.
You're not knocking on Warner Brothers' gate.
Right. Totally. Yeah.
There's a step in between that.
And anymore, that's probably going to go away at some point. And so it's important to take advantage of these avenues.
Amazing. Well, growing up in El Paso, going off to film school, coming back to El Paso, did you ever imagine there'd come a day when you could make an animated feature film here in your hometown?
No. I think I probably daydreamed about it as a kid and in high school. But I think that's the thing that hit me was, you know, I always admired people like Bill Plimpton and Rene LaLoux and independent animation feature filmmakers, and it's like this dedication and this way that they kind of just dove into their work and came out on the other side with this thing.
And kept it really personal.
Yes, and it kept it personal, and it kept it untouched. You know, not too many cooks in the kitchen, but I always hope to be able to do that at some point.
Well, I think you're doing it, so I'm so proud of you and your wife and excited to see what comes of this. Thanks so much for coming into the studio today.
Thanks for having me.
I've been discussing the feature-length animated film The Weird Kids with writer, director, editor, and animator Zach Passero. Passero has been working diligently for over a year and a half on his first animated feature and is two-thirds of the way done. He's just launched a Kickstarter campaign to raise the funds necessary to complete the film and pay for professional sound design and music scoring. You can learn more about The Weird Kids and contribute to its completion at Kickstarter.com, and that's The Weird Kids, kids with a Z, not an S. A final program note, the Film Salon begins a new fall series looking at the films of the notable British filmmaking partners Michael Powell and Emmerich Pressburger. The Film Salon will screen Powell and Pressburger's 1941 film, The 49th Parallel, tonight at 6:30 p.m. at Alamo Drafthouse Cinema, and tickets are just $5. On Film's engineer is Seth Van Meter. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.